You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, June 3rd. The Tongue Point Job Corps Center in Astoria is slated to close at the end of this month after the Trump administration ordered a nationwide shutdown of Job Corps centers. But some aspects of that closure could begin this week. Astoria City leaders recently learned faculty and students at Tongue Point may need to be out of the center by Friday, or at the latest, June 12th. At a city council meeting Monday night, Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick asked the other councilors if they would be available to hold a meeting this week to get input from the community about what the city can do to help provide housing. The city council plans to meet tomorrow at 6 p.m. City Manager Scott Spence called the accelerated closure date devastating news. He said around 23 students may have nowhere to go. Bill Van Nostrand is a retired Presbyterian pastor. He's involved with the lower-income housing project, the Copeland Commons, in downtown Astoria. He told KMUN he is working with other pastors and leaders in the community to also develop solutions and resources for students and employees at Tongue Point. Police have identified the victim in a fatal hit-and-run incident in Astoria on Sunday. 77-year-old Patricia Harrison of Astoria died after being hit by a vehicle near 16th Street and Irving Avenue. The suspect allegedly fled the scene and struck another car farther up in the neighborhood before continuing on to 17th Street. Officers with the Astoria Police Department arrested the suspect, 50-year-old Michael Munson Smith, in the 1700 block of Jerome Avenue. Munson was due to be arraigned at the Clatsop County Circuit Court today. He faces charges of second-degree manslaughter, failure to perform the duties of a driver to injured persons, failure to perform the duties of a driver when property is damaged, driving while under the influence of intoxicants, recklessly endangering another person, and reckless driving. You can read this and other stories by going to kmun.org/news. For years, industrial pollution at Heritage Square in downtown Astoria has left a large portion of the site undevelopable and inaccessible to the public. But the city recently received a $2 million grant from the Environmental Protection Agency to help clean up the parking lot and a large pit at the site. The work fits into a broader process of redeveloping the site as a public gathering space. In recent months, a group called the Friends of Heritage Square have been working with the city to begin the public process for planning this space. City Manager Scott Spence says the city will be finalizing the grant agreement with the EPA over the next few months. Then the city will begin design work to address environmental remediation at the site. Construction could begin next year. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Schools in Oregon and across the country are seeing growing numbers of students with disabilities, in many cases with more significant needs. Serving these children requires a lot of trained adults, and therefore a lot of money. Without it, kids don't always get the support they need. But when there is money to support the right staff and programs, it can make a big difference. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Natalie Pate has DJ's story. He's a middle schooler in Salem.
I want you to remember a particular poem that we read at the beginning of this unit. It was called I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
In a recent first period at Waldo Middle School, David Mann addressed his 8th grade English class.
Can anybody remind me what that poem was about?
Like a caged bird, but metaphorically.
That's DJ, sitting in the front row.
Like a caged bird metaphorically, what do you mean by metaphorically?
DJ raised his hand to answer nearly every question Mr. Mann asked.
You're exactly right, David, thank you, yes.
DJ is a fan of Pokemon, Cocoa Pebbles cereal, and the Portland Trail Blazers. He's only 13, but he's already over 6 feet tall, and he hopes to play pro basketball one day. He's doing really well in his classes, too.
History, I had 100% for a few weeks.
The students seen in Mr. Mann's class wouldn't have been recognizable a year ago. Because of an emotional behavior disability, DJ hasn't always controlled some of his more negative actions.
He required a lot of adult support. He was very unsafe with his behaviors and self-harm, dangerous physical aggression.
Aaron Johnson is the principal where DJ used to go to school, Salem Kaiser's Behavior Intervention Center, known as BIC. BIC has two locations and just over 20 staff members right now. They've worked with about 20 students this year in grades 1 through 12. The center only serves students with disabilities who have significant levels of aggression. Students are only meant to be there briefly before they transition back to a regular school setting. Johnson said that's what happened to DJ. He came back to school in September, taking his medications consistently, using screens less, and not being violent.
All of the staff were like, wow, this is a new kid.
After weeks without incident, DJ started taking classes at Waldo. At first, he went for just a couple hours a day, and he had an adult assigned to help him. Staff very quickly realized he was ready to transition full time and that he didn't need as much direct support. DJ's English teacher, David Mann, said DJ's energy in class is infectious and his transition has been seamless.
If you were to interview any of the students in my class, they would have no idea about his background, that he's just an enthusiastic, sweet, nice kid, and a story.
That's considered a major success. It means DJ and his classmates get more academic and social opportunities. But to support students like DJ is enormously expensive. Oregon schools receive more than $18,000 per student per year. It costs more than three times that for a student in a contained special ed class at a local school like Waldo. It's six times that at a place like BIC. Chris Moore directs mental health and social emotional learning for Salem Kaiser. He said the moves they've made in recent years have paid off.
We've made some significant investments, and it's led to some great outcomes for, you know, hundreds of kids who have increased attendance, who increased their graduation rate, who have lower anxiety and lower depression.
The demand for special education services is only going up. Oregon advocates are pushing to remove the state's funding cap that limits how much districts get for special education. And at the federal level, promised funding levels have never been met. Salem Kaiser is in a unique position right now. The district made major cuts last year that helped avoid staff reductions for next year, and it's prioritizing behavioral health and special education investments.
We're asked to provide social services, health care, and a well-rounded education to all kids all the time, and because we care deeply about doing that work well, we do the best we can.
Moore said DJ's case is a success story because of all the people who helped him. Paraprofessionals, teachers, administrators, counselors, and social workers.
When so many people are pouring into some of our most vulnerable kids, we increase the likelihood of their success.
Natalie Pate, reporting.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, partly sunny with highs in the low 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.